Live from Lower BCC, this is Red Sea Radio, episode 8. We're back again. It's another Wednesday. Not a beautiful Wednesday this time, but back in the studio, Kyle and Jack. Jack, how you feeling?
Good, good. It's another week closer.
And that is our first talking point of the day. Again, you're listening to WVOF 88.5 FM. So, 14 days. 14 days till Stags basketball. I was talking to you on the ride over here. You did not see the graphic that I posted today.
No, I missed it. I must have missed it.
Jack doesn't follow Stags in the Stands on Instagram.
I'll do it right
follow
now.
Right now.
I'll do it right now.
Live
I can show
studio.
You it.
And for you guys listening, follow Stags in the Stands on Instagram. I partly run that account, so I make some of the graphics on there. And I posted a picture today. Follow it. He's following it live.
Dang.
Okay, there we go. Just gained a new follower. So you can see the picture, too. I posted it today, 14 days until the season starts. We had a picture of freshman Jason Adokpai in there.
I like that. I always love those numbers, the number countdowns.
I have a few more of those lined up. I have one with Alan.
You got Taj at
10
what?
10 days. Taj, two days.
Yeah.
I have, like, one with Chris for one day. So I have a couple of those lined up. So if you're not following Stags in the Stands, make sure you follow them on Instagram. We have a lot of cool posts we have lined up for that. And also, just some other announcements for students who are listening to the show. This Friday is Free Shirt Friday on campus. So if you follow Stags in the Stands, you'd already seen that. We're giving away a red Fairfield Stags t-shirt to get ready for the season. All you have to do is download the Super Stags app and check in on Friday, and then come redeem your shirt at Rafferty Ticket Office from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. I'll be working that from around 12:30 to 4, so if you want to stop by, Jack, come get a free t-shirt.
I will.
Also, a couple other announcements. This Friday from that same time, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Rafferty, we will be, if you're a student and you ordered a cutout, you can come redeem a free prize. Again, the prizes are on Stags in the Stands, so if you want to check them out, it's like a shirt I'm wearing right now, and then a headband, socks, or a wine glass. So if you ordered a cutout, come get your free prize, show us your receipt. And then, the last thing I was thinking about is for us, for our Red Sea Radio Twitter, once the games start, we're going to probably like live tweet the games. Right?
We'll both get it on it.
Yeah, we'll probably live tweet the games, live tweet our opinions. So if you want to follow us on Twitter at Red Sea Radio, you can see our live tweets for the games when they start in 2 weeks. So we're getting ready for that because we're only 2 weeks away. So that's our announcements. Let's get into the show today. Today we're going to be based a lot around, conference schedule updates and polls again. So before we get to that, we just mentioned Jason on here, right? This week, I'm not sure if you saw Fairfield Stags posted a little thing about him. They've been posting every week kind of meet the freshman kind of thing. They did it last week with Supreme Cook. I know we talked about that on here. They did it with Jason. Basically what he said on there, it was a long page about him. It was a good write-up. Basically he said his goal for the season is to win the MAC championship, go to the tournament, and his other goal is to be MAC all-rookie team.
It's a good goal.
That's a very, very good goal. You know, you want the rookies or you want the freshmen to be aiming for the stars, right? So I think that's a good goal. He also said that he feels like the strongest aspect of his game is his rebounding and his ability to score in the post. And he thinks he could help on the offensive rebounding side, which, again, we heard Jay Young say in his interview with us that that's a big focus this year. Is offensive rebounding. So he feels like he can help his team get second-chance shots. And we've warmed up to him a lot on this show, right?
Yeah.
And we're actually very excited to see him play now. We didn't really know a lot about him at the beginning of the show, but now we're, like, all in on him.
Yeah, and we think of him as, like, the first freshman to kind of – I think first or second freshman to make, like, the big difference.
That's
on
the thing
team.
Is, like – a lot of people project, like, say, Jalen Leach or maybe Supreme Cook to be, like, long-term a great prospect. Like, maybe 3 years from now or 2 years from now, he'll be the man. But Jason will probably be that guy
this year that can impact it.
Know what I mean? Like, down the road, Leach might be better, right?
But Jason, right, this year will have the biggest
effect. He'll probably make a better impact depending on play time.
How stuff shakes out.
You know, because he's probably the second guy behind Chef.
I mean, just in terms of – big men, forward. Him and Jason and Supreme will have just more chances than like a Jalen, just because of Caleb and Taj and Cruz still being here.
Yeah,
it'll be harder for Jalen to get playing time than it will be for a Cook or a Jason. Yeah. More so Jason.
And speaking of Cruz, another cool announcement is he's made the preseason All-MAC third team at the MAC Preseason Awards last week. So shout out to Jesus Cruz. I know he follows us on Twitter. So if you hear this, shout out to you. And we look forward to watching you play again this season. It's always been a pleasure. And also, Lou Lopez-Senichal on the women's team, she won MAC Women's Preseason Player of the Year. So that's a huge accomplishment for her. I know I've said it on the show in the beginning, one of the first two episodes, but she is a phenomenal player. She's like, whenever I'd work the women's game, she's by far better than everyone on the court. And it's cool that she got recognized for it. So Fairfield women's team was projected number 2 in the women's poll, women's coaches poll. So we definitely got to keep tabs on them more this year too. As time goes on, we'll talk about them more on the show, because they have a real chance to make the tournament this year, and I think they could have made it last year as well. So we'll definitely kind of keep up with them and try to update stuff on them too, if you're down for that. But yeah, let's get into it. So the first kind of portion of the show we want to talk about today is the more out of conference games that have been scheduled confirmed. So today. Actually, today on Instagram, Fairfield announced the first women's game is going to be Fairfield versus Sacred Heart, November 25th, the same day that the men play Providence.
Ooh.
So I believe that game is here, but I'm not 100% sure.
In Bridgeport? Or?
No, they're playing all games at Alumni.
Oh, they are playing all games at Alumni.
So let me find it. They just announced it today on probably like the women's basketball page. Yeah, game one. So at Alumni Hall. So 2 weeks from today, same day that the men tip off against Providence, the women play Sacred Heart at Alumni Hall. Make sure you get your cutouts. The deadline to get your cutouts in for opening day is Monday, so make sure you buy those if you're listening. But you can buy them after Monday as well. But they announced that. But on the men's side of things, we know Providence, right? November 25th.
Yeah.
November 28th. Stony Brook, November 29th, Sacred Heart at Stony Brook. So that's a 2-day event.
A little bubble.
Those teams are all playing each other. And then December 22nd, it looks like we are confirmed to play William & Mary. Now, Fairfield hasn't confirmed any of those three games, but they are on the schedule of the other teams on their websites. So it's pretty much confirmed for you. So that leaves us with 4 out-of-conference games right now. So I guess first off, kind of just what... How are you feeling about those 4?
Well, Providence, obviously, we've talked about this. It's more of like a benchmark game. Like, we don't expect to win, but if they keep it close, we would love it. Upset would be awesome. A close loss, we would love. I was just keeping it within semi-competitive through most of the game, I would love. And then, obviously, we've talked about off the air, Stony Brook and Sacred Heart a lot, how we kind of feel confident in the team and how they will match up with them. Yeah. And we think of those as both winnable games, basically.
Yeah, we don't know a whole lot about Stony Brook or Sacred Heart, but we feel like we should be.
I mean, if you compare it to last year,
with those teams
did we not beat Sacred Heart? Or did we?
We didn't play them.
Oh, we didn't play them. Oh, well, Sacred Heart played. I feel like they played someone in our conference at some point. Maybe I feel like I remember seeing them at some point. But whatever. I think that Sacred Heart. I think Fayetteville is just a better basketball school than Sacred Heart. I think last year they would have beaten them, and then. Stony Brook, yeah, it's an unknown. I think we'll know more about our chances against Stony Brook as it gets closer after the Providence game, probably. But at this moment, I feel confident in Stony Brook and Sacred Heart. Providence, I hope for a close game.
Well,
I pray for a close game.
You were right. You were right, though. They played a MAC team last year, but they did actually beat Quinnipiac last year.
Really?
So, yeah, they beat them 97-80. So
that's a classic Quinnipiac game last year, 97-80 with all... Those three,
who knows, though? Maybe they are a better team. We don't know anything about those two teams, but we kind of talked about this. Out of the 4 out of conference, we'd love to split them. I mean, I know the William & Mary game's like deep in December, but we love to split them. Apparently, William & Mary is ranked in the lower half of their conference this year, so assuming they lost that great player they had last year. we'd love to split these games. Providence, like you said, benchmark game. We're going to see where we rank with kind of the big dogs.
Yeah, Providence.
They're a small school.
But, I mean, they're, what are they, second in Big East, we saw?
And we always we talked about this last week again, too. It's like that's kind of the school that we want to get to in terms of
they're very
of
similar
program.
In terms of size, in terms of obviously both Catholic. Like
they're very similar schools.
Very similar. Like, if obviously they're better in basketball, but I'm saying if Fairfield was to ever get to that tier, a lot of guys would be picking between Providence and Fairfield.
Yeah.
If they were ever get to that tier of Providence
basketball.
That's
the tier basketball. We want to get to as well, too. Like, small school, they have a great student section and all that, too. And they get a lot of fans, and they're a really good team, and they're in a better conference. So it's cool to see, like, right now, how far are we in that process against that team, you know? So that'll be cool to see. And then, yeah, Stony Brook, a little revenge game for Jae Young. So that's always something to keep an eye on, you know?
Yeah,
so,
of course.
We're hoping that we can get a win there. And then Sacred Heart, yeah, it's a rivalry. It's a little in-town rivalry, so got to beat Sacred Heart. And then William & Mary. Hopefully we could split two out of those four games. Now, a lot of teams have around, what, six out-of-conference games this year. Would you want to see two more added? Or?
I mean, I always love the out-of-conference games. It just switches stuff up, and also it's nice to see them play against kind of a different level of competition. Because, like, obviously everyone in the MAC is pretty similar.
Yeah.
To Fairfield is kind of the same kind of bat play. They play same type of play style.
Yeah, and you can measure up to other teams. That's
but
like
outside of the comments, like, we saw when we were in Mary, it felt like a different, like, it felt very different, I guess. Like last year when they played
Yeah, William & Mary at home.
Because, like, no one in the MAC has a guy like
That big man.
So it's fun to see that. Like, it's fun to see, like, different types of play. If Providence, I'll enjoy, even if they lose, I'll enjoy watching that kind of talent go against Fairfield.
We even enjoyed watching them play
Maryland
last year.
Yeah, the Maryland game was fun, too.
Yeah, so, you know, I would like to see them add one or two more games if possible, but is it going to be worth it, I guess, this year is the question, because, you know, obviously with, like, COVID and everything, is it going to be worth traveling to those two extra games when, you know, for big schools, like, not necessarily, like, Duke or schools, like, or even for schools like that, for big schools, the out-of-conference games are necessary for, like, seeding down
yeah,
the road.
Yeah, for resume.
For the resume, and for schools that are a little bit smaller, like, it's necessary for them to try to get those at-large bids. But for, you know, like, Fairfield, MAC teams that aren't going to get at-large bids, it's just going to be whoever wins the MAC will be in the tournament.
Yeah.
Is it really worth playing those extra two games and risking your season getting shut down when you get sick or something like that? So that's, like, kind of the only thing you really got to think about. If they did add one or two more games, well, who would they play against, you know?
Yeah.
I would like to see them play one more, like, bigger school. Right, because you have Providence, you have a bunch of, like, kind of mid-major schools.
Yeah.
I don't know, like a UConn maybe? That'd be kind of cool.
And
I don't know,
it's odd that they never really match up with UConn because it seems such a like an obvious
past.
We don't really know pre-2015, 2016.
Yeah. But yeah, like that, it can't be. I don't really know how far UConn is. You visited UConn.
I mean,
once,
it's
right?
Like an hour train ride. Hours train ride.
Yeah, so that would be cool. There's also, like, smaller schools we could play around here, but, again, like, is it worth it? Again, and also, that's the thing, too. If you play another, like, smaller school or a school that's kind of, like, same as us, but non-conference, is that worth it? It's not really going to make you look
that much
better.
Yeah, it's not
going to
look much better. It's not really going to change the, like, you're not going to play a team that's, like, much better than you. It's like,
yeah, I would say only if they're going to play, like, upper competition that will actually, like, give us an idea of where we are or kind of just give our team exposure. I think then it would be worth it.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, another mid school, like, I don't know. Like, they talked about Boston College, their schedule's out. Their schedule's full, so we wouldn't play a team like that. But say we played, like, Boston University, like, I don't think that would be worth it.
I mean, BU, it's like, you don't really think of them as, like, a basketball squad. I haven't really heard of their basketball team as, like, anything.
Yeah, it's like, I don't think that would be worth it, something like that.
But a team that's, like, in the tournament can, like, a team that you see on TV every night, that's fun to see, or even not even, like, a team,
or like a St. Bonaventure,
just a team you've heard of, like, you've seen them in the tournament before, like, they've won games in the tournament before.
So, like, something like that would be worth it. I know Sacred Heart is playing Rutgers this year, that's interesting. I was hoping we would play Rutgers, because obviously Jae Young just came from there, I didn't know if, like, he could get that kind of connection and reach out and play them. I think that'd be really cool, like,
they're on the up
like,
and up, yeah.
And, like, us being, like, from New Jersey, like, kind of following Rutgers. I think that'd be really cool to see like our school
the
play
up
them.
And coming.
But also they'd probably kill us.
But it would be fun to watch
It'd
them
be
kill
fun
us.
To watch, yeah. and again, we are so confident in that Jay Young defense
that we can keep it close with anyone.
And it would be the night of that game, and we wouldn't even be like, we're going to get killed. We'd be like, hey.
I mean, the coach, in college sports especially, like, the coach means so much. And the fact that we have Jay Young there as, like, a guy we can trust and, like, count on, like, it's huge.
That defense is
a brick wall.
It never makes me worried. Like, I'm never
– every possession
I never think we're going
to
get killed.
Yeah, every possession I feel like they have a chance to get, like, a stop. Like, a lot of times you see, like – in basketball, like any time you watch any basketball team, it's like you can tell the defense is just out of it. Like
yeah.
they're gonna score no matter what happens. Fairfield's like not the case, which is very, very fun. Like
yeah.
Nice to see.
Yeah, I never get worried that we're gonna get killed, so that would be cool. But Sacred Heart's playing them like the game before they play us or something. So I'm interested to see how they match up
with
the Rutgers
playing. Oh, Rutgers.
Play Rutgers. So yeah, so interested in that. But so yeah, the final opinion on our schedule, because I think that was one of the questions on Twitter that we got. Is just I think. If we're going to play upper competition, add the games, get us exposure, get us, you know, you play better teams, you get better, you know what I mean? Like, you're going to play better teams, and then it only goes downhill from there. So I think, like, playing better teams would be a good experience. So if you can, add those games. But if you can't, and it's just other, like, mid-major schools, I don't really think it's worth the travel slash, like, risk of COVID this year to really add those games. I don't think they'll help us in any way. Other than just playing more games. So that's my take on it. But let's talk about the MAC scheduling now, kind of transitioning into that. Obviously, the MAC changed their whole scheduling this past week. So I'm just going to read the press release that they had for anyone that doesn't know what happened or how they changed their schedule. I'm going to read the press release, and then we'll talk about it. So the MAC Council of Presidents, they revised the 2020-2021 schedule, basketball schedule, format on Friday afternoon, and they took in consideration COVID and traveling and everything like that. So they approved the following changes. So basically, the men's and women's, there's going to be 20-game double round-robin conference schedule, 5 home series, 5 away series for each team. A Friday and Saturday playing schedule at the same venue for both games, with 24 hours of spacing between the games. And then the men's and women's teams will mirror each other in terms of who they're playing. So basically, Fairfield's playing Niagara. Fairfield men's team's playing Niagara there. The women's team will be playing them at home. Like that.
It's like a back and forth.
It's going to be the men's and women's team are playing the same team. One's home, one's away. You get 5 home series. You're playing the same team back-to-back Friday, Saturday. 5 away series playing the same team back to back.
That makes sense. It makes sense that how, like, it's just for in terms of COVID stuff, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Play back to back so you don't have to, like, go back and forth from a certain place. Especially
It's going to be interesting.
It'll be interesting to watch, yes. Playing teams back to back like that. You only see that really in the NBA. You don't really see college back to backs.
It's going to be so interesting because, like you said, like, one team's going to, like, I don't know. It's just really cool. Like, one team's going to win on a Friday and then. It could be a whole different game the next day. Teams are going to change their, you know what I mean? It's just like, because in past, you'll see, like, you'll play Iona, and then you'll play him, like, 2 months later, something like that. And it's, like, a whole different, the teams like, evolve over a season, too. So, like, you'll play Iona in the beginning of the season, and then
the team
got way better, and it's, like, a different, I don't know.
And even not even, like, evolve in, like, getting better, it's just, like, involved in, like, rotational.
Yeah, like, you could play a whole different team down the road, but with this, you're basically playing the same team twice. It's, like, interesting to see. And then, obviously, there's not going to be fans this year, but losing, like, a bunch of home games against other teams, like, you're going to have basically home games against the same 5 teams this year, just twice. It's kind of interesting, like, dynamic. But there aren't going to be fans as of now. Now, there's not fans till the end of December. But I'm interested to see if they do allow fans in the second half of the year when we come back. That would, like, change everything because then teams would have 2 home games. Like, say, like, Siena plays, like, here twice.
Yeah.
Their home crowd is, like, huge.
Yeah.
And say they start allowing fans back. That's, like, huge for them. That's a huge loss for them not having a home game.
Because
they get a huge crowd. And
compared to other schools in the MAC, like, it's different, like, big schools because, like, everyone gets a huge crowd.
Yeah.
But here, it depends, honestly. And it depends also, on day, time of day.
Crowd,
day.
Like, definitely makes a difference in college basketball.
Oh, for sure.
So, like, say we get to play Iona here twice, and say there's a crowd, and it's in the second half of the season, and they're getting on Rick Pitino, and, you know what I mean, and they're getting on the players, and that could be a whole game changer if that's, like, if that's what happens. I know they announced COVID vaccine last week or whatever that is, like, 90% effective, and who knows how quick that'll come. They're saying potentially by the end of the year. So who knows if we'll have fans next after the break, you know? Mm-hmm. And that would be huge with this new schedule. So that that would be something really interesting to keep in mind, I think. But I like that they're doing this because we looked at other leagues, right? Like the Patriot League.
Their schedule
is like – I really don't like how their schedule turned out.
It's weird. It's like – it makes – I can see why they would do like the – I mean, it's kind of like
it makes like logistical sense.
It's kind of like what baseball did, what the MLB did, with like the East plays the East, the West plays the West, the Central plays the Central.
For a game sense, it was kind of.
I mean, so what? They don't play any. They only play those three or four schools.
So basically, there's North, Central, and South. Yeah. So like three bubbles, like you said, and like Boston University will only play Army, Holy Cross, and Colgate all year. So, and then Bucknell will only play Lafayette and Lehigh all year. And American will only play Loyola and Navy all year.
It's like one – okay, it makes sense like COVID-wise, obviously. But one, that's got to be a drag for fans and players to play the same
– same teams.
Especially in the three-team conferences, you play the same two – every day it's just alternating playing.
Yeah, that's awful.
And then also for teams like a Bucknell who like – and Lehigh even, teams that like have made the tournament and like – or Colt, like teams that want to make the tournament and have made the tournament before – how do you get a resume? You play the same two teams over and over again.
And you're probably trading.
I mean, that's what everyone's goal. Like, I know it's COVID and everything, but like your goal is to make the tournament. And I'm guessing it's going to happen. Like, March Madness will happen this year, right?
Yeah, they're guaranteeing it.
So,
unless something major
happens. You're basically conceding. Unless you win your conference, you're basically conceding
a tournament. You have to win the Patriot League.
Yeah.
And I saw this online. Someone mentioned is like, imagine we did that and you had to play Siena 7 times.
Yeah, we would lose 5 out of the 7 times, more so. At least 5 out of 7 times.
Or you played Marist 7 times. Or you're great. Yeah. You're 6-1, right?
But Canisius, yeah.
Like, it's so unfair. It's unfair for the standings. And then, obviously, like once you get into the tournament, everyone's going to play everyone, the conference tournaments. But the seeding will be so, like, skewed to the teams that were in the worst, like, played the worst teams. So that's kind of interesting. I think the MAC definitely did it way better than the Patriot League. And it's just going to be interesting, like, the two back-to-back, like, with, like, rivalries and stuff, too.
Yeah.
Like, going back-to-back. Like, I remember in high school when we – in baseball, we, like, junior year they restructured our schedules where we'd play, like, the same, like rival Catholic schools, like, twice in the same week. Mm-hmm. And that was always, like – when that happened, like, it always made the rivalries, like – up.
Twice in the same week
because you play them like on a Monday and you play them on like a Thursday and you just beat them or you just lost to them and you get that extra oomph. So for a Fairfield to play a team and say they lose a close game and it's kind of heated, and then if they played the team 2 months down the road, maybe you forget about it, things change, but if you're playing them tomorrow, you're sleeping on that loss. You're waking up the next day. You just lost.
It doesn't have time to like linger. You have that.
It's right
there. That power.
And also too, playing two games in a row. Stress. It's like, it's very. It's like very, kind of. I don't even know how to put it. It's like. It's risky. It's like risky almost. Because. You could lose, like, you could just go through a weekend and you're 0-2, you know, or whatever. Like, it's so risky to play two games right back-to-back. I feel like you can, like, slip up. You could have a bad weekend, and you just lost two games, and you're, like, way down in the conference scheduling.
Yeah, it's – I mean, back-to-back games are – back-to-back games are tough. I mean, do colleges even do back-to-backs that often?
I don't really think so.
Yeah, so, I mean, if ever. So, I mean, it's going to be a new – it's going to be different. It's going to be new for a lot of these guys. I don't think any pod or any of them have played really back-to-back days – except maybe in the tournament or the MAC tournament they do.
Yeah,
but
that's probably the only time. I feel like back-to-back is very rare in college.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like even, like, pro player, when, like, dudes go to the pros, they have to, like, adjust to that whole back-to-back thing.
I mean, yeah, it's weird. It's...
So, yeah, but kind of your final take on the new MAC scheduling. Mine is that I like it. I think whatever we could do to make sure this season plays out, do it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm down for anything. I am down to... For anything that, like, that will help us.
Yeah, so I like it, and I think it's better than other schedules we've seen.
I mean, definitely better than America, than the
Patriot League,
I mean.
So, I like it. I say good job, Mac. I think it's going to work out, hopefully. Rapid testing, and then two games in a row, and then you go home. So, good job, Mac. I like it. Jack likes it. So, moving on, we're going to talk about some polls now. So, that's... The second half of our show, we're just going to talk about some polls, kind of get you ready for the season, get us ready for the season. Again, two more weeks, so we're really waiting for the season to start because our shows will be a lot better once the season starts. We did reach out to try to get an interview, and we're still like in the kind of negotiation process for that.
We're looking around.
So, I'm still waiting to hear back from him. He told me he was going to try to get either like Mido or... Allen or like Taj, like one of those players.
Three of our guys.
Yeah, well, that's what I asked them to get. So we might have an interview next week, but we can't confirm that yet. But anyway, we're gonna talk about polls this week to get ready.
I mean, that's what college basketball is all about. The polls.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because you see Rothstein tweet the other day. It's like college basketball is the only sport that like you care so much about polls, but there's a tournament to. Decide the champion anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Well, like, I mean, polls matter to get seeding, which in turn seeding matters to get
like,
tournament.
Because like
again, tournament.
Because he's referencing like college football, like polls are everything.
Well, yeah, well that's different because there's only four teams.
They
that
choose
get in.
The top four. I mean, you know what I mean?
The top 25 it matters a little less because like at that point you're in the tournament. It's just a matter of seeding.
Yeah.
The people you have to worry about are like the fringe. Tournament teams that aren't in the top 25, they're kind of like...
Yeah, like the first four out.
Yeah, yeah.
Or whatever.
By the end of the season, you don't watch the top... You don't watch the Dukes and the Kentuckys. You watch, like, the Oklahomas and the Texas... Like, not even... I'm not sure... It's different every year, but you know what I mean. The teams that are on the fringe. Like, Syracuse has been on the fringe a couple times the past few years.
Yeah, yeah. So, I thought that was an interesting tweet. I thought it was kind of cool how, like... Because polls just completely decide.
I mean, college they love the poll. They love watching projected one seed, projected
like
two seed. I mean, it's like it'll be like January, and they'll be like, "These are the projected 1, 2, 3, and 4 seeds."
Yeah.
Like,
so and like teams like there's definitely been teams in the past that like legitimately probably could have won the national championship, but they just didn't get picked in the top four. Like those fringe teams that were out like five or like when was that year when Ohio State didn't get picked? Was that 2 years ago?
There's a
college football, like
Oh yeah, in college football it happens all the time.
I think it was Haskins' year.
There was a year I know that year, but there was also a time TCU was like I think they were four, then they won their last game. They were undefeated, won their last game at as the four, and then dropped to five. Got jumped by like an Ohio State, like a bigger school.
Yeah.
And people like still
like that first year when Washington made it and they just got killed.
Yeah, it's like it's
different things like that.
Well, yeah, and then you have to take into account like do they win the conference championship? Strength of schedule. And, like, basketball is the same thing. Like, you look at, like, the RPI. Like, they have, like, all these things to, do it.
Yeah.
That's even with 64 teams that, or 68 teams that make it.
The tournament is so big that polls don't really matter because, like, the seeds, like, what? Like, 5 through 16 are, like, never really winning.
Yeah. I mean,
as long as you get those good teams in there, all the teams that can win the national championship in college basketball make the tournament.
Yeah, exactly.
No teams get, like...
If you're really that good, you'll make the tournament. Even if it's, like, a last four, and we've seen, like, VCUs and, like, a lot of those teams, like, VCU, Wichita State, it's, like, even Loyola Chicago, like, if you're really that good, like, you'll somehow make your way. Like, Loyola Chicago, like, no one really thought they would be good, but, like... Obviously, they were good enough to make the tournament, and that showed when they made it to the Final Four. So, anyone that worries about polls, like where they are in the polls, and especially in the preseason, it's like it doesn't really matter. And especially for like us personally, our only chance is winning the conference tournament anyway.
Yeah.
So like looking at
everyone makes the conference tournament.
Exactly. So and especially in the MAC, where like you can go on a run at any point, seeding really doesn't matter. Like fair good easy.
It does matter for the teams that don't have to play.
Oh, well, yeah, you get a bye, right? Top four seeds get a bye.
Is it something like that? I remember we were like a couple wins away last year from getting one of those because we lost those couple buzzer beaters last year, like late in the season.
Yeah, really the Quinnipiac one.
Yeah, so, but yeah, polls like obviously aren't always correct. We're going to take a look at that here today.
Granted, the CBS college basketball rankings, I don't know where you got the link from, but it says Fairfield at like 230 ahead of like a lot of the teams in the conference. That, I mean, I just said how they don't matter, but that made me excited.
See, right? Polls never matter unless your team looks good
in them.
and then you'll kind of.
Granted, I love how Siena's top 100 in the entire, being top 100 like that. That's pretty impressive for the MAC. I mean,
yeah. So hold on. So we'll get to that in a second. Let's start with the first one. So, the first poll that I want to talk about today, in my opinion, is the most important one. Is the preseason coaches poll, because the coaches know the MAC the best. They've been in it, you know. They coach the teams. They've seen everyone. So the preseason MAC coaches poll, they got Siena in first. No surprise.
Unanimously. Surprisingly, unanimously like that.
Yeah.
With Patino up there.
They got Iona in second. And then tied for third, they have Monmouth St. Peter's. Manhattan in fifth. Niagara sixth. Quinnipiac seventh. Us in eighth. Fairfield. Marist in ninth, Canisius, and then Ryder in last.
Ryder is probably my most.
Well, they lost so many players.
I know, but I mean, after being so good, you must think they have someone in the wings waiting. And like Canisius,
they lost, like what, six, seven, like really big players.
Like, yeah, like they were very good. They were thought they were like Siena as like the top team.
Yeah,
in the,
I think I picked them last year to win.
Yeah, I remember you were all over them for the tournament before it got canceled.
Yeah, so, but yeah, we're in eighth place in the coaches poll. So, right, what did three-man weave have us in? Ninth?
I think eighth or ninth.
And we said, we kind of said that, you know, we thought we should be like seventh, eighth, like a little bit up more. Six,
yeah.
Seven. I think we said six, seven.
Six, seven, we said. We were at nine.
So, it's good to see that we're up a little bit in the coaches poll. But like, again, just look at this poll, and it's so much different than like three-man weave. It's so much different than the polls we're gonna look at down the road. Like, it just goes to show how just the MAC is just so close.
Like, and also the MAC, like no one, like outside people outside of the MAC, like that three-man weave trying to predict it. Like they don't watch that much. They watch a lot more Big East and Big Ten and Big 12 than they do MAC basketball. So it's like they know
all the teams play at the same time. You can't watch
exactly. Exactly. They all play at the same time. Unless you have 15. The only person I think can do that is Rothstein. But
yeah, like Barstool guy. Yeah, or something like that. Like you can't unless you're going to Buffalo Wild Wings for every single basketball game. You can't watch every single team, and even if you did, you couldn't pay attention to
the Barstool guys. Love Quinnipiac. They love their
really
the Quinnipiac basketball. I remember last year they always were watching Quinnipiac basketball. Well, they were always betting on Quinnipiac basketball.
Oh, yeah.
That's a little different.
But, yeah, so you know, they don't know as much as the coaches. That's why I think it's the most reliable poll is the coaches' poll.
They see every – they see – they're the most informed about the conference.
So to see us in eighth, it's a little bit better than the other ones. So it's kind of cool. But let's take a look now. We talked about polls not being super accurate. Let's take a look at last year, the coaches' poll last year, for the MAC versus how the standings finished, because I think that's interesting. Coaches poll last year, Iona in first. They wound up finishing seventh, right?
We were playing. We beat Iona last year. We beat them.
No, we got killed by them.
Two years ago we beat Iona. But whatever, they were not as good as they were not as good as.
Coaches poll last year had Siena in sixth. They came in first. They had us in last. We came in what, ninth? So it was really shaken up. I don't think they got one team in the right spot.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, the only thing you can hope to project is number one.
Yeah, if you're projecting number one, you know you're going to have a good shot. But, like, they didn't get any of them right last year. So
that's what I mean. The only one you, I mean, as like a prediction, like the only one you can, like it's hard to predict someone to finish like exactly seventh.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's tough. But I'm just saying, like it was very.
But getting, having your first place team be seventh is
like,
a bad look.
If you guys at home want to take a look at the old coaches poll last year,
what was Siena
finished? Siena was like sixth.
Yeah, so I think about like if you think about it, like that way, like how like the error, the margin of error they have in these. Say like Siena was sixth last year and they finished first.
Yeah.
So Fairfield has that similar kind of jump to like 2-3, which we hope to be at. They could. They very like it's not like
and
a death wish that like they're eighth.
From Siena jumping 6th to 1st, we could very well jump
8th to 2 to 5th or 4th. Oh, yeah. Very easily 5th to 4th. I'm saying like if we have like a jump like Siena did, which is unlikely but possible.
And it's just and they got all of them wrong, and so that just goes to show how much you can't really trust the polls like that, but. It was cool to see us move up a little bit in the coaches' poll. The next one I did want to talk about, you kind of mentioned already, the CBS college basketball complete rankings. They rank, like, I think every college basketball team, right? Something like that.
That sounds like a... Was that Rothstein that did that, or was that someone else? Because I know he always likes to do...
Does he work for CBS?
I don't know if he does CBS or another his own company, but I know he does, like, full college basketball, like, the whole... league rankings like that.
Yeah, so I feel like he'd be that one guy that would do it. They probably consulted him. But they did a full like ranking. So obviously you mentioned Siena 92 in the nation. That's the highest that's in the MAC. That's the only one that breaks 100 in the MAC. So that's kind of interesting, right? Like Siena at 92.
Yeah, I mean they're right in the thick of like those they're getting close to like those big schools. I mean it's like look at, like, small schools that become big, like Wichita State, like, who was, like, at the bottom and they kind of worked their way up, became, like, a powerhouse. I mean, it's small baby steps until you get into, like, the tournament and make that big splash.
So, you know, it's kind of cool to see, like, just in terms of, like, the MAC, like, just for the MAC, it's cool to see us, like, having a team in the top 100. It's still not, like, great, but, you know, it's something. But then Fairfield was, Monmouth was 128, St. Peter's is 188, Iona is 199, and then we're 5th at 230. So it's kind of a big jump from 4th to 5th. But they do have us technically 5th best in the MAC. So CBS is the highest ranking we're going to get.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. Yeah. 5th in the conference. I mean, it's not totally 5th in the conference, but it's 5th. Best team from the conference.
Yeah, they did conference rankings, but they did like that. They did the whole thing. So, but yeah, 5th is not bad. That's actually where we would like love to
That's
be.
That's where we expected to be.
Yeah,
kind of
like
going.
We say 6-7, but we'd love to be 5th. They have Manhattan under us, Quinnipiac at 7, Marist in last, Ryder in 10. So it seems like Ryder's
like unanimously kind of like
bottom.
Which is, it's kind of crazy to see, but it's kind of like what college basketball is. Very. Up and down, especially with the one-and-done rule and how guys transfer out of these conferences.
Yeah, so that's the CBS rankings. And then we had two more we wanted to talk about. One is Daily Dose of Hoops, which is another basketball website, another one of those basketball websites. So they predict Siena 1st, St. Peter's 2nd, Monmouth 3rd, Iona 4th. I think it's interesting, too, some of these other ones are predicting Iona, like, 4th or... You know, like the last two we just looked at,
yeah.
Picked them at 4th. When a lot of people have been picking them at 2, the second tier under Siena is kind of predicted a little.
I mean, it's like, kind of just like a month. It's like a different. It could be any order. Just those three teams will be there. I mean, Iona mentions that Rick Pitino will like kind of be that X factor, but with new guys coming in, it says it'll take time to mesh. Which honestly, if they can go into the It says they'll be playing their best basketball going into March. That scares me. With Pitino coaching a team that's
hot
going, like that's that'll like if I don't get to the tournament, I could see them playing someone close if they were to win the MAC,
like all the way to the end.
Yeah, if they were to win the actual MAC,
they get into the tournament.
I'm saying if they get into like the actual tournament, like with a coach like that who's won championships. I mean,
that's the thing.
Like they'd be a scary 15 seed to play or scary 16 seed to play.
Yeah, they would. I mean, even 2 years ago when they made it. They were like almost tied at halftime.
Yeah,
with North Carolina, right?
They've played close games before in the tournament without Pitino. With Pitino, a coach like that, it's going to be
won the tournament.
Yeah, he's won the tournament. Like imagine you're like a team like a San Diego State that like kind of got like last year they were like a surprise one seed, and you go into the tournament and you have to play Rick Pitino in the first round. Like a team without like that without a coach like that that's experienced
it's
as a Pitino,
scary too.
Scary, yeah.
And another thing too is just. What was I going to say? Something about the tournament. I don't know. But anyway, they have Fairfield at 8th. And the write-up they have about them, I just want to read that since it's the Fairfield portion. It says the Stags will most likely own one of the conference's best defenses, and a lot of their offensive growth depends on how much Caleb and Chef will be able to make an impact after Landon graduated. So,
kind of what we've been saying.
That, to me, I like that.
I liked it, too. When I read it, I was excited because it doesn't put a ceiling on it. It's like,
yeah, it's like
Caleb and Chef will take them however high they can.
To me, I read that as they have the best defense in the league.
And offense has the potential to be very good.
Their offense is going to be.
But no, but it's not even that they don't have a good offense. It's that they have
It's just saying we don't know.
Yeah, exactly. We don't know. But I'm saying they have guys that have the potential to take them to like the next level.
Exactly. And it's like,
last year it was just like their defense is good, their offense is bad. Like, cut and dry. Like, that's it. This year it's like their defense is really good, and they have guys that could, in the right situation,
to me, that
push them to the next level.
To me, that gives me an insight of probably how most of these poll people are doing it. Like, they just don't know about the offense. They know the defense.
I mean, that's what most of these blurbs, like Three Man Weave, I think Three Man Weave mentioned that too in their blurb, that they're unsure about the offense, but defense is very good.
Like you just mentioned before, how it's hard to predict the winner of the MAC. It's almost impossible to predict the sixth-place finisher, the eighth-place finisher. So when they're making these predictions, they're, all right, who are we going to throw in six? Who are we going to throw in seven? It's like, all right, let's put Fairfield down there because we don't really know how their offense is. We know their defense is good. They probably won't come in last place. But we don't really know how their offense is, so let's just throw them
in the middle.
Let's just throw them at the bottom, seven. Like, that's probably what went on during this, and the write-up makes me feel very confident because it's like,
and they don't even mention,
they don't know the offense.
They don't even mention the freshman in it. That's without, like, that's like,
yeah, they mention
Caleb and
Chef,
who are the transfers. They would be huge, obviously, but like a Jalen and a Jalen and Jason will obviously also play, hopefully play big roles.
So to me, it's I really liked reading that because they didn't say anything bad about us.
There's nothing bad. There's nothing like a, like there's different teams. Like, Marist about the raw and offense to create shots more than last year. Like, that's, like there are a lot of, like, they lost stuff. They'll have to rely on new things.
Yeah.
Fairfield's, like, they're gaining ground, I guess, gaining talent.
And we just don't know.
Yeah, we just don't know yet. It's impossible to predict them to be high when you have no idea about the transfers.
Yeah, you can't be like, oh, well, these guys sat last year. We think they're going to be great. Let's put them at three or whatever, you know. So I really liked reading that one. I thought that was really cool.
And do you notice the third team? All MAC third team, Caleb Green is predicted to be on it.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even look at that.
That's a big thing. I mean, they weren't even close to anyone being on the All MAC teams last year. If they can get one, even maybe two,
they have Jesus on the preseason one this year too. So
the other one, right?
No, I know, but I'm saying if he can follow that, make the one, like the real one at the end of the year. That would be interesting.
Caleb Hayes, and even like a Jalen or like a Jason on the all freshman team.
Yeah, that's his goal. That's probably all their goals.
Yeah.
So, that would be cool. Yeah.
And then, it'll show that they do have like the best, like some of the better talent in the MAC. Like being able to finish in those all MAC teams, like it shows that they.
Yeah, it shows
their guys are the best of the best in the MAC.
And we haven't had a lot of those since we've been here, really. So, it's cool to see. Our last poll that we're gonna take a look at today is CBB Central. They ranked the boys at 9. So let's take a look at what they said. There's big write-ups on here. So, again, I just want to read it for those of you that haven't seen it or read it. So Fairfield ranked 9th. It says, in year one of Jay Young's tenure at Fairfield, the Stags attempted to win by muddying the waters, similar to how Young's mentor, Steve Peichel, built Rutgers. Not armed with much in the way of offensive talent, Young's group grinded games to a halt, held the ball for over 20 seconds on average on offense, and tried to win close games late with good defense and timely shot making. It's worked to an extent. While the Stags did lose 20 games, they finished 8-12 in the league and lost a pair of home games late in the year by one possession that could have potentially led them to a bye in the MAC tournament. A pair of transfers, point guard Caleb Green and Chef, should give this group a lift offensively, and a waiver for Jake Wojcik would be huge, would also help. Meanwhile, the continued development of young players like high upside forward Chris Mido and freshman Jason Adokpai will be critical for long-term vitality of this program. Green's addition feels like the biggest one, given the Stags really struggled without a true point guard to run the show last season. But it still feels to me like Fairfield University is going to be in a position where they need to win a lot of rock fights to climb the ladder. And I'm not sure how sustainable it is to go into an entire season without scoring 70 points in regulation, which the Stags did last season. That's the write-up, ninth place. I'm going to say I like it again.
I mean, I like it. They were a little harsher than the last one, but, I mean, it makes sense. Yeah, their offense will be better. It won't be I don't think it will end up being great this year.
Here's why I like it. Because we now we have inside information that they don't. That these poll people don't, right? We had Jae Young on the show.
Say they're going to play fast. They're going to play quick.
Jae Young said he wants to play
faster. Play out in the fast break, yeah.
He wants to play quicker. They're not going to play that same style.
Yeah, they mentioned so, literally exactly what the opposite of what Jae Young said to us. Like,
yeah, well,
they said they'll play rock fights.
Exactly how they played last year. Jae Young said, I don't like playing like that. We're going to go faster.
Well, he also mentioned that he only played that way because out of necessity.
They had to, yeah.
But, I mean, we don't know if... Like Caleb and like there might be games where Caleb and Sheffield have bad games. They're gonna have to play like that again.
Yeah.
Well, so like it's not like
about
a,
that is that they've already played a season like that, so they're probably.
It's not a terrible thing to play that way sometimes. I mean, like even.
And if they have
even
to,
even the
they
top teams played like
it.
That sometimes. I mean, against teams like Fairfield, some teams had to play like that. So.
And if they have to, they've already played like that
exactly.
For the season, so they know how to play.
I mean,
that.
Also, I don't see them ever playing that as slow as they did last year again because.
No.
I mean. Yeah, say Caleb,
like,
say
a
Case,
new, like a real point guard
say Caleb
now.
And Chef have bad games. You still have Taj and Cruz waiting.
And those were the guys that were running the show.
Exactly.
Last year
so like,
them, so.
You never had a bad. If Cruz and Taj had bad games, we didn't score
there
at
was
all.
No one to back them
but
up at all.
If
yeah.
Caleb and Chef have bad games,
now those guys can back them up.
Cruz and Taj
there.
Are kind of the
Mido's there.
Mido's there, yeah. And also Chef. It's impossible to see Chef and Mido have really having bad games because they're such good rebounders. It's. Like,
yeah.
Mido getting bigger, better boxing out. Chef, we already know, should be one of the best.
Most athletic
players. Yeah, most athletic players. So he's, like, it's hard to see them finding it as hard to score as they did last
yeah.
year.
But so for me, reading that, it's like, yeah, they expect Fairfield to play the same exact way they played last year. That's how they're talking in this article. And we know from having Jae Young on here that he's going to play faster. They're not going to play like that. So.
And they even mentioned that it worked to an extent that way. They mentioned they were
yeah.
two close games away from a bye.
Well, to me, it's kind of like them talking about the defense worked.
But yeah,
right?
Like relying on your defense to win your games worked.
The defense is still going to work this year, but we're just going
to work score a little
on
more.
Offense.
And I mean, I don't think they'll score. I think they'll score more than 70 in regulation in one of these games.
I think they'll definitely score more than 70 at least once.
At least once.
Hopefully 10 times.
Yeah,
but,
hopefully five, like a couple handful
but,
of times.
But at least once. So to me, again, I read that and I don't hate it. I just read that and think, well, they're just not that educated on
yeah,
what
I,
they're going to see this year.
I mean, like.
And it's
if,
fair.
If, and it's fair, yeah. It's a fair assessment without talking specifically to coaches or anything.
Yeah.
But. Also, 70 is a lot more in reach because they're not going to take – they mentioned they took over 20 seconds on average on offense.
That's the thing.
That won't happen this year.
They didn't even take enough shots last year
to get to
70.
We didn't even take 35 shots in games last year.
They probably would have had to shoot like 70%.
That's what I mean. They probably took 35, 40 shots in a game last year, if that.
Yeah.
So they would have had to shoot 20, like 55% plus make threes on top of that.
Yeah.
Which they didn't do.
So – again, that's going to boost the scoring, and the defense isn't going to get worse because Jae Young is a
defensive-minded coach.
God.
As they mentioned this, Pykele, even his Pykele, who he obviously he mentioned to us
yeah.
as very
was his mentor
yeah.
and stuff. Yeah, so I think I read this again. I just think that they don't know how Fairfield's going to play this year, and it's very fair.
It's a fair assessment from someone on the outside, but for us,
because if you were just like ranking random, they're not listening to.
We were looking at the American.
Reviews,
if we were looking at the
not,
Patriot
yeah.
League, like we were looking at
you
before,
you just look at what they did last year,
yeah.
and you think, okay, they're going to play the same way. They're not like, so it's fair of them to say this, and until the team
proves
us wrong,
yeah,
you know, maybe they won't be playing quicker. Maybe they, like you know, what I mean, like until they actually prove us
yeah.
wrong. It's very fair, but I just look at it and think.
I mean,
know,
it's frustrating just because we know something that like it feels like we know something that they don't,
yeah.
which is funny. It's like we like, but yeah, it is like we know they won't play slow like that
yeah.
this year.
Yeah, I agree. So they also have the first team on here. Do they have anything else deeper than that?
No, there's first team and player of the year.
They have a newcomer of the year. A lot of awards going to Iona in that one. They got a. Newcomer and breakout player both going to Iona, so we'll see. Jalen Pickett seems to be a shoe-in for player
I mean,
of the year. So
yeah, he's He's very good.
Yeah, so we'll see. But, you know, that's kind of it for the polls. I guess just the moral of today's show is that the polls are not always correct, so don't get discouraged by them as a fan at all.
They'll change.
They will change over time. They always do, and the polls don't mean anything. You know, we're going to play Stags basketball in 2 weeks, and the play is going to matter, not the polls, and it's will be fine. So don't worry about the polls. 14 days from today. So it's interesting. We're going to actually have a show on the day of the game, right? But during the daytime, Wednesday? It's 14 days
two,
away.
Two Wednesdays from now, we'll be home. We'll Zoom. We could Zoom. And
yeah, so that's another thing I guess we'll update for the show before we get out of here. So obviously, Thanksgiving break is coming up. Next week's our last week in the studio on campus for Thanksgiving break. Trying to come back after Thanksgiving break. So maybe we'll still be in the studio like after that. But if we can't come back for some reason, we're still going to do our shows on Zoom over break. So don't worry about it. We're not going to be going anywhere. If we didn't do shows over break, that'd be like the meat of the season that we'd miss. So pretty much have to do shows over break. So we'll do them on Zoom or something. So we'll still be there. But yeah, we're going to do a show, I guess, on the day before the game. So we'll probably do like a big preview for that 2 weeks from now, a big Fairfield versus Providence
we'll be
preview.
Ready.
So make sure you stay tuned for that. We'll actually preview the whole week because they're going to be playing Providence, Stony Brook, and Sacred Heart all in the same before we have another show. So,
well, yeah, we'll be previewing all three.
We'll preview all three. We'll do our deep research on that so we actually know what we're getting into with those teams. Next week, hopefully we get an interview. If not, I don't know. Make sure, if you're listening, maybe submit some questions for us for next week. It's kind of tough to keep coming up with stuff when there's no games on yet. So if you're listening, come up with some questions, tweet us at Red Sea Radio or reach out to us any way you'd like. Maybe we could do that show next week for talking about how like the team could grow more fan like engagement.
Yeah,
you know, we got into that discussion last week.
A little bit of marketing. Yeah.
A little bit of marketing talk on here, maybe. We could. We'll mix that in next week if we don't get an interview. And then we also need some questions. So send us questions. We'd love to hear from you guys. 2 weeks away from Stags basketball. We cannot wait. We know you guys cannot wait either. I want to thank everyone for listening to us constantly. We've had a lot of fun on this show. Look forward to it every week. And we can't wait for the season to start. So keep interacting with us, sharing our show with other fans. And we appreciate you guys a lot. It's been Kyle and Jack, episode 8 of Red Sea Radio on WVOF 88.5 FM. Tune in next Wednesday at 1 p.m. or on Spotify, and we will be back with another episode of Red Sea Radio. Until then, everyone have a safe week, a good week, and as always, go Stags.